back to Hunter Logan Unmiked. I am Hunter Logan. I know it's been a while since we did a podcast. I've been on the road traveling and haven't been able to take time to do one, so we're going to do one now. If you want to keep up with us, though, you can go to hleradio.com, listen to the morning show. That is about the best way to keep up with us. We're live every morning, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Time. Of course, Twitter. Tweet with us, hleradio.com. Another way to keep up with this. Got a lot of announcements coming up. You're going to be sharing. I wish I could be sharing them on here. I'll tell you this much, though. If you listen this Friday, the 12th, I'll have a special guest in here. Surprise guest with a big announcement. We'll make that on the morning show, so tune in. I can't wait till we get to the point to where we're talking about everything that's going on here, because it's going to be really exciting. But we'll continue on with the autobiography portion of Hunter Logan, so to say. Last time I left you, I was having problems with my stepdad at the time. I was still about 17 years old. I graduated at 17, didn't quite turn 18. I graduated in May. I was still 17, didn't turn 18 till September. But it didn't matter. I mean, we were legal. We weren't legal, but like I said, we were buying liquor then anyway. I really had it good at home and I didn't know it. But what had happened was, now I was working. I was pumping gas and, I mean, I was doing a little job, pretty much working at a convenience store, gas station type thing. But I think through my stepdad, which he would have been correct, my mom, or they had asked me to pay $50 a month for staying there. My mom was washing my clothes still. I was eating their food, burning their electricity, their water. And if I would have thought about it, that was a great deal. I should have took that deal and been happy. I should have paid them $100 because it was really worth it. They just wanted me to pay something. And I don't think it was because of the money. I really think it was just because of the ethics of it, or to, I don't know how to call it, just to, it was the right thing to do, in other words. And of course, I'm like, you know, the first words out of my mouth, I'm not going to pay to stay at my own house. Well, it wasn't my own house. Just because I grew up there, and just because I lived there almost the entire time of my teenage years, it didn't make it my house. I wasn't paying the note. I wasn't paying the electric bill. But in my mind, that's what I thought. So I get the bright idea to move out. And I just move out. Now, I get a job at a gas station in Jennings. I'm living in Iowa at the time, where we're living, the trailer parks in Iowa, off I-10. But I end up getting a job in Jennings. But I have to find a place to stay. Now, my real dad, I can't stay with him because he has a family now. He has that lady. He has my half-brother and half-sister now. They're all young. So there's no room there to stay. I'm too proud to stay where I was. So now I got to find a place to stay. Well, I'm basically staying from pillar to post. I have a couple of friends, and they let me stay there for a little bit till they find out that I can't pay half of the bills. Then they kick me out. So it's true. You know, they carried me for a month or so, and they're like, I don't know, I was pumping gas, then I was a fry cook for a bit, and you know, I would find these odd and end jobs after I've graduated because I was just fumbling around with no direction. What I wanted to do, my dream, was to go to Nashville and be a session player. I wanted to be a lead guitar player, a session lead guitar player in the studio. That's what I wanted to do. That was my dream. That's what I wanted to do. That was my dream. I just wanted to go to Nashville and be a lead guitar player in a studio. I just wanted to be one of those session players that just showed up every day and played guitar in the studio. That's all I wanted to be. But if you remember in the previous episode, I told you I'd had my daughter, and I'm going to keep that private. I'm not going to discuss that. But through that, you know, back then it's like, well, you got to get a real job. And a real job is 8 to 5 every day or something like that. Real job is not playing music. And that's what I was told all the time. You can't play music. So what I was doing, I'd pump gas during the day, and I started playing the bars at night through a couple of friends I met. And I remember the first bar gig. We showed up. Nobody could sing. And I'm like, what are we going to do? Just play and nobody's going to sing? And so I remembered songs from my dad's band and stuff. I mean, I remember some songs from listening to them, learning them. So I knew the words to songs, but I'd never sang before. So it's like, what do we do? So the microphone gets, I just sing. I never sang before, but I just sing. I just start singing. And so I became the singer of the band by default. Not that I ever wanted to sing, because I didn't. I never considered myself a singer, never did want to sing. I never considered myself a singer, never had desire to sing, never did. But through default, I became the singer because nobody else knew how, or nobody else did. So all of a sudden, I'm the singer now as well. So that was that's how the band thing started. But again, up to this point, right? Up to this point, I'm still going to church somewhat. Still hadn't started drinking yet. But then I started drinking, and then, you know, the band guy, they're a little bit older than me, some of them. They're smoking weed, and I'm like, all right. So at first, I'm a little scared to try it, but, you know, I'm like, all right, whatever. Because at this point, I'm like, I just don't care. I'm like, nothing's working out. The dream I had is squashed. That's done. Things ain't working out. Nothing's just working out. Nothing's right. Everything's just crap. It's just going to crap. Everything. So it's like, whatever. And I'm in that whatever stage. All this stuff's going on all at once. And I mean, like, there's a lot of other stuff going on, like I said, that I have to keep private just for private purposes. But during all this time, I do meet my wife that I'm currently married to. And I've only been married once. And it's to Roiland, who I'm married to now. But I do meet her during this time. Now, keep in mind, when we were younger, about four or five, six years old, we grew up, we knew each other growing up, but we lost contact up until, you know, I was about 18 or so, and she was 16 or whatever, and we met back in, you know, those times I was going to church or whatever. But it was during the time that I was just floundering around, and I really wasn't on my own 2 feet at all. So I do remember finally getting an apartment. I finally saved up enough, or I got help or something, and I got an apartment. But I couldn't keep it very long because I couldn't afford it. Because I didn't have regular income every week. It was the one thing I guess then I should have known I couldn't work for anyone. The stuff about being a struggling musician, that's real. You don't know. It's almost like a sickness. I look back on it. Because you got to play. You'll do anything to play. You want to play. You want to sing. Anything to get that fix of playing. And even if you don't make nothing. I would play for a bar tab. I remember it. Oh, you going to give me free drinks? Yeah, I'll be there. It didn't matter. I just love to play. Love to play. That's why I like going to church, too, because I was able to play. I didn't listen to none of the sermons. I was just able to play. And so that's what I was doing. Staying from pillar to post. Going to church. Playing in the bars. Not really doing much of anything. And still mad at the world. Mad at my dad, my real dad, mad at my stepdad. Just mad. Just don't have any direction. And it all comes from not being able to deal with what I needed to deal with. I didn't know how to deal with it. Again, counseling wasn't something that was available. If it was, we didn't know about it back then. Or it wasn't readily available for me. So I'm having to figure out all this stuff on my own. And I made some bad choices. I just made some bad choices. That's all. But nonetheless, I still kept to the music. That was my first love, always, was the music. Sad to say, back then, that was just, it was always first. Because I never was able to do what I really wanted to do with the music. And when you're told that you can't do it, and you're told that you can't do it, and then when you're told you're not good enough to do it, that even makes you more determined to do it. I'm going to talk about that in a later episode as well. Through all this time of dealing with all this stuff, and something happens in church that really sets the path now. Because again, I'm still at pillar to post. I'm barely talking. I'm starting to talk to my mom now. For a while, she didn't even know where I was. And that hurt her. And that was wrong. But again, I'm just thinking about myself. I don't care about anybody else. But I'm talking to her, not talking to my stepdad very much. I'm actually going to the same church that my dad's going to, but I'm just tolerating him right now because he's still with the lady that, as far as I'm concerned, broke up my home. So I'm just tolerating this whole mess because he just happens to be going to the same church where my wife is going to, who's not my wife at the time, but that's who I'm seeing. You know, we were raised in one of those Assembly of God Pentecostal type churches. You dance, you speak in tongues, you jump the pews, you run, all that stuff, man. Spirit filled. Good stuff. So there's this bar. It's not there no more. But in the town of Lake Arthur, which is 9 miles down the road, which is where my wife is originally from, 9 miles down the road from Jennings, there was this bar called Phyllis's. And we were playing there Saturday night. And then, you know, what are the chances that, you know, the church people ain't going to be there, right? The people I go to church with ain't going to be there. Of course they're not going to be there. And so I would go to church on Sunday night. So I played the bar Saturday night, played the church Sunday night. So Sunday night, and we're having one of those great blowout services. Man, everything's happening. People are testifying. And one lady stands up. She says, "Boy, I just want to say how much I love the Lord and all this great music and Brother Hunter. And I just enjoy his playing tonight. And I enjoyed it last night when he was singing at Phyllis's too," which was the bar. And then everybody just stops and it gets quiet. And everybody just looks at me on the platform. Like, it just gets deadly quiet. And everybody just turns around and looks at me. All eyes are on me. And I'm like, huh. And of course, I look at them and I'm like, y'all know she's crazy. I'm like, kind of rolling my eyes. You know, she's crazy. And then I told the Lord right then and there, I said, "Okay, God, from this day forward, I will either serve you or I won't. I will not do both. I will not be on the fence one way or the other. I won't. I will either serve you or I won't serve you." And of course, at that point, I chose not to. I quit going to church. Quit playing in church, quit going to church, and I went to New Orleans is what I did. I left, went to New Orleans for a while to try and see what was going on down there. And that didn't work out too well either because I'm still pillar to post. And not only that, between all that, I messed up things between me and my wife too. I messed that up. And things were bad there, so bad that her dad said that if I ended up on their property, he would shoot me. He said, "If that boy comes anywhere near this house or on this property, I'll get my gun and I will shoot him on sight." I'm like, yo, man. So, man, I'm telling you, it was just, you talk about no direction, no nothing. I got nothing. I got zero happening for me right now. And I don't even think the band was together anymore. I don't even think we were playing in any clubs or anything. I think one of the guys had went on and decided to go to college. One of the guys decided to go to work somewhere else. So there was even no band left to play in. So I'm sitting here with nothing. No prospects, nothing going on, no anything. Kind of like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Here I am just bumming around like a bum. No direction. And then, you know, of course, my stepdad's telling me, you ought to go to, you know, he keeps mentioning, you ought to go in the military. Well, no matter what he says, I'm not going to listen. Whether it's good advice or not, I'm not going to listen. It doesn't matter. I don't want to hear anything he's got to say. I ain't going to receive it, first of all. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. But I remember with my cousin, I always looked up to him for some reason. I always thought he was like the coolest. Growing up, man, we go down there, and I always thought he was the coolest. Like, he's just the coolest. But I remember we went somewhere. I don't know if it was the Pontchartrain Beach. He used to take me when it was open. And back then, I forget where we went, but, I mean, we were drinking and stuff, too. And he really hurt my feelings. But he told me the truth. But it was really true, too. And it made me really look where I was and what I was doing. And I'm like, wow. You know, because I'm 18 now. I haven't turned quite 19 yet. And I mean, it literally pisses me off. Makes me mad. But after I get over the madness and the hurt of it, I realize that he's right. I couldn't receive that, I guess, from anyone but him at the time. But I mean, he just really hurt my feelings bad. But he told me the truth. And I guess that was the first time nobody really kind of sugarcoated stuff. It's like my stepdad wanted to be more forceful with me. Like he really wanted to probably be more brutal with me, but he couldn't because of my mom. Because I'm a mama's boy. I'm her only boy. I'm her baby. And to this day, I'm still her baby. So he couldn't really be as forceful as he probably wanted to be with me because of that. And at that time, my dad, he didn't care. He had other issues. He had other problems. He didn't really care about what was going on with me. He didn't. Honestly, he didn't. I wasn't a bother at all. I wasn't even a worry. That dose of reality is actually what got me to pretty much start thinking straight and saying, wait a minute, I got to do something here. I'm going to have to make something of myself. I'm going to have to become a productive member of society. I'm going to have to do something. I'm going to have to make a living because I have responsibilities. Yeah, I didn't get to do what I wanted to do. That's going to have to get put on hold for a minute, or I'll have to figure that out later. But the first thing I need to do is I need to figure out how I'm going to sustain myself, first of all. How am I going to sustain myself independently? So if I really don't want to need anyone, how am I going to do that? That's what I need to figure out. And how am I going to take care of the obligations that I'm going to have? How am I going to do that? That's the first thing I need to figure out. So that comes. And I figure that out by something. Well, while I was in New Orleans, just so happened that there was a man who had spent time in the Air Force. And just happened to be around my aunt's table that morning. We were drinking coffee and he was there. And we started talking about the Air Force and he was telling me about it. He was telling me all about it. I said, well, maybe it ain't that bad after all. And so I enlisted. So I'm going to leave you right there, though. When we come back to next week's program, or the next time I do the podcast, I'm going to tell you about my enlistment to Uncle Sam. Of course, that's going to start the whole chapter of the dark years. But Uncle Sam will be the next time we'll take off and do the podcast. So make sure, download the podcast, tell some folks about it. We're everywhere. Apple, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, the one I can't never remember. I forget what it is, the other big one. I'll write this stuff down. I really will. Tune in to HLE Radio, though. Download the free app. Tune in on the morning show. Listen to us, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Time. Hey, as always, I appreciate you. And I love you. We'll be back. We'll be seeing you again.